Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's up? Welcome in, everybody, on this Sunday night to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you are here. Hope all of you had a safe and happy 4th of July weekend. Things really slow down in sports this week in particular. But next week, this time next week, if we leave on time, which is a whole nother, the travel situation, we'll figure it out. But the plan is this time next week, we will be live in Atlanta previewing Ole Miss's turn at SEC Media Days on Monday. So really looking forward to that. It just depends on when we can get out of here. My plan currently, though, is to go live with you Sunday and Monday night at SEC Media Days. And then the rest of – I might do one every day, but you will definitely get videos every day for the next week after that. They may just not be live, but you will definitely get you'll definitely get podcasts every day around SEC Media Day. So looking forward to that. But yeah, this time next week, we will be in Atlanta getting ready for SEC Media Days. I assume we'll get the player list tomorrow, would be my guess. And so we can talk about that on Tuesday and kind of like a what we're, you know, looking forward to hearing from the players. I've told you guys before, I'm always excited for football. I'm one of those suckers that it doesn't matter. Football season is always something I'm excited about. I love college football. I watch it all. I obsess over it. It is my thing. It's always been my thing since I was about my son's age, and it's always going to be my thing. So I'm very excited about football in general. This Ole Miss team, though, in particular, since, you know, I will obviously cover them with you guys here, and then that's kind of my half of the radio show now at this point. This is a fascinating football team. For so many reasons, it's kind of recovering in a way from some offensive whatever last season. You know, you lose a first round pick at quarterback, you lose a lot of defensive personnel. The schedule's really interesting. Lane Kiffin coach teams are always kind of interesting anyway, but there's a lot of questions about this team. And, you know, if they answer most of them, there's a chance that this is a really good year. So it's a lot of fun anyway. So we'll talk about that when that name list gets released. Ole Miss is going on Monday, which will be a lot of fun. And we will have right here on this feed one-on-ones with every player, and should also have one with Lane Kiffin as well. So excited to bring all that to you guys from the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta. But for now, we're doing confidence meter. That's what I came up with tonight. Here's the premise. So I five factors, right? I did coaching on offense, coaching on defense. So Kiffin, Golding, defensive personnel, and schedule. On a scale from 1 to 10, how confident do I think you should be in Ole Miss in those five categories? That is tonight's show. And, of course, we'll read some of your comments as well on this edition of the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And also, this podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out at toyotaofbrookhaven.com or on Exit 40 in Brookhaven. That's where they're located. The car buying experience is a tough one at times. You know, some people, they love buying new cars, and that's great. And you should go shop at Toyota of Brookhaven because they will take care of you. But also, I think more of you are like me where it's kind of a necessity thing. Maybe you have a new teen driver, or you know, you're expecting a new child and you've got to upgrade. You got to get more space, whatever it is. And it's kind of stressful. The people at Toyota Brookhaven understand that, and they will take care of you and treat you like a person and not just try to work one over on you like you're just dollar signs. And also, they'll give you $1,000 off if you just tell them that I sent you. Literally, just tell them that you heard about them from me, and they'll give you $1,000 off. Straight off the top before anything else. They've got great in-house financing as well, especially if you want to buy a new Tundra. And also a service department open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, and one of the highest rated in the state. So check them out, Toyota Brookhaven, Exit 40 in Brookhaven. They will deliver for you. All right, number one, your confidence meter in Lane Kiffin. And I'm kind of looping this into offense as well. So head coach and also offense. And my, on a scale from 1 to 10, what I think you should be confident in, or how confident you should be in Lane Kiffin on a scale from 1 to 10, I did a 7.5. Lane Kiffin is the ultimate two things can be true at once after the 2024 season. We've talked about the amount of wins, 39 wins in 4 years at Ole Miss. He's done a heck of a job bringing Ole Miss not only to relevance, but sustaining that relevance throughout the last 4 years post-COVID. They've got a nickname because of how well they've done in the transfer portal. But not only are they doing well in the transfer portal, they're taking transfers and they are turning them into NFL players. They're turning them into effective college players. The program in and of itself, the floor continues to elevate every year that Lane Kiffin is there. He has absolutely raised the floor of Ole Miss football. And I don't think, as you guys hear me say all the time, I don't think it's particularly fair to have this idea that, well, if he can't make the playoff last year, then he never will. Well, the expanded playoff is 1 year old, and he has had two teams over the last 4 years that would have under the 12-team model, 2021 and, of course, 2023. So he has gotten a team there last year, either with the added pressure or whatever, that they came up short. But it's not like he hasn't had a team that's been good enough to get there, and that was the first opportunity. He's done that, just, of course, not in the expanded playoff era, which is literally only 1 year old. But the reason why I give it a 7.5 is because it was weird a year ago. And we don't need to rehash this as much as we probably do, but it's July 6th. What do you want me to do? But it was weird last year. The Kentucky game, I don't know if they were adequately prepared for it, as has been talked about many, many times over. The way the running back position was handled, the Micah Davis thing with Florida, the calling somebody that covers the team into the office to explain why you're not playing a particular running back, but that was the running back that you made the collective pay a lot of money to, and that was the guy that the spin was, you don't need Judkins because you have Bentley, and then you tell somebody that covers the team, you need to stop talking about it because Bentley's not good anymore, so that's why I played this wide receiver. That whole thing was, it was weird. It's just, weird is the right word to use with offense last year. Not only the running back situation, but how they were apparently very easy to scheme against at times. And if anybody can fix it, as I say many times, it is Lane Kiffin. But the way that the offense performed a year ago kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. And so I'm not going to go anything above a 7.5 until that can get rectified, until that can get fixed, because that was kind of a crap show last year on that side of the ball. And despite having the talent that they had, it wasn't good. And the running game was bad. Short yardage was bad. Offensive line play was bad. And compared, relatively speaking, of course. And yet they still won 10 games. So am I confident in Lane Kiffin, the head coach, to continue to sustain this level of competency at Ole Miss? Absolutely. But last year left a bad taste in my mouth, so I can't go any higher than a 7.5 right now until I see them do some self-scouting and kind of figure out why it was so easy to stop them, especially in second halves last year. Defense, Pete Golding, I did a 9 out of 10. Not a 10 out of 10 because they're not perfect. They weren't even perfect a year ago. It gave up multiple fourth downs on the tying touchdown drive in Baton Rouge. You had that fourth and long get given. And I know that's not necessarily Pete Golding's fault, but I mean, fourth and long, Kentucky was able to convert, and it wasn't perfect, right? But it was excellent. And frankly, 2023, I thought, wasn't perfect either, but also really good. Pete Golding has done one hell of a job at Ole Miss, both on the field in terms of having his team prepared to play. 13 games this past season, defensively, they played well enough to win those games. All 13 of them, they played well enough to win those games. Recruiting is going really well. And when he didn't have high-level personnel, they still had what was a productive and effective defense a year ago. They lacked high-end talent in 2023, but they were able to create havoc. They got a lot of sacks and TFLs, and they did win a lot of those games in 2023 on defense. Remember that Arkansas game? Remember Mississippi State? Hell, remember Tulane? Auburn as well. They played really well defensively that night as well. So simply put, I mean, it's a 9 or a 9.5 out of 10 for Pete Golding, both on the field results, what they've done in recruiting, both portal and high school. I think Ole Miss has an absolute rock star on that side of the ball, and a rock star that's not going anywhere. I mean, that is a guy that very clearly is bought in to Ole Miss and bought into this program, and he's showing it, and the fruits of that labor are they're Ole Miss is just thriving defensively under Pete Golding. And like I said last time or two episodes ago, I can't remember, that is the better place. This is the preferred place that you want to be. And if one side of the ball is going to struggle for a Lane Kiffin coached program, you want it to be your offense, because that is something that you know that your head coach can figure out. That is something that you know that he is capable of. You would much rather have it be like this than have offense be flourishing and then just cycling in and out defensive coordinators that can't figure it out. This is a much preferred position. But yeah, Kiffin 7.5, because I kind of looped in the offense in there. And I know that there are some people that think that I kind of absolve Charlie Weiss Jr. from blame. Because to me, the offensive head coach, where every play call goes through his headset, should wear more of the offensive issues than the coordinator, if that makes sense. Maybe that's not fair, but that's kind of how I look at it. But yeah, Pete Golding, 9 to 9.5. Offensive personnel. This one's going to sound kind of odd because I brag on so many of what I think is going to be great players in positions on the offense for Ole Miss, but I did a 6.5 offensive personnel. And here's why I did a 6.5, because I have no idea what they're going to be like on the offensive line, and neither does anybody else. If you wanted to take a pessimistic view of the offensive line, you'd be totally justified in that. So they certainly can be better. There's no doubt. I mean, they've portaled one guy in particular that was a starter in the SEC, so you know what he's capable of. They return both tackles. If both of them are healthy, like, you know what you have there. But until they show it, until they're better at running the football, until they're better at getting push up front, until they're better at protection, you just don't know. And then also a factor into that, even though I have extreme confidence in his future, the uncertainty at the quarterback position. Not who it's going to be, but what is he going to be like right away? We don't know. I think Austin Simmons is going to leave Ole Miss an absolute superstar. But is he ready to be an absolute superstar when he leaves Ole Miss right now? I don't know, and we'll have to see. That answer is probably yes, to be honest, but until we know for sure, I think I'm going to stick at a 6.5 because of the offensive line and because of the inexperienced quarterback. But you guys have heard me say this before. I think this group of wide receivers and tight ends, the pass catchers, could be the best that Lane Kiffin has had so far at Ole Miss. I really do believe that. I think the tight end room is deep. I think, quite frankly, you can see – you can envision having multiple tight ends on the field at the same time, even though that's not really something that they do a whole heck of a lot, and they may not here, because I kind of thought they'd do it a year ago and we didn't see it a whole lot. I know Prescorn was dealing with injury stuff later in the season, but between Caden Lee returning and what we know already that Jahjon Stribling can be and has been, albeit at a different school, what Trey Wallace has been, albeit at a different school, in the depth that they have at wide receiver. I mean, even a guy like Deuce Alexander, go look at his stats. That's a guy that they're not expecting to start at all. You have the former five-star in Caleb Odom. You have Winston Watkins, who got to go through spring, who they apparently are really high on. Now in comes former five-star Caleb Cunningham. I mean, that wide receiver room, even though they don't really use a lot of wide receivers under Lane Kiffin, there's a lot of depth there. And then obviously the tight end room, as I just said, is just outstanding. We'll see about running back. On paper, the running back room looks good, but that's just on paper. We have no idea what that'll look like in practice, because last year the running back room looked good on paper as well, and you know what that turned out to be. So 6.5, offensive personnel. Just too many questions. But the pass catchers, I think, are going to be elite for Ole Miss. Defensive personnel, I gave it a 7.5. I am very confident in the front six. I really like what Dottery brings, and he's going to be possibly one of the more underrated players in the SEC entering this season. Nobody in Atlanta next week is going to talk about TJ Dottery very much, and I understand why. I get it. I mean, you can't talk about every single good player on every team, but I do really like him a lot. Perkins returning. Both edges that they got out of the portal have really high upside, and all of the returners that we've talked about many times. I mean, that defensive line, as I told you guys last time, and as you knew this already, it's not like I needed to tell you anything. Every single player on it that is in the two deep anyway is a former four or five star player. Like what they did in the portal at linebacker as well. The reason why it's a 7.5 and not any higher is the secondary. On paper, there's a few guys that you should like. Sage Ryan, for example, is a guy that LSU fans hate. I do not think that their hate matches his actual play. He's better than the way LSU fans talk about him anyway. I mean, they've added a few guys in the portal that have a chance, you know, to be good players. Is Wydell Williams ready to take another jump to go from Delta State to ULM to the SEC? Is Jalen Braxton healthy? Is he ready to go? Can he be an effective defensive back? Ricky Fletcher's there. It's a whole lot of I don't know for Ole Miss right now. And again, Fletcher's the South Alabama transfer, but there's so many names that they've added, so much new, and I just don't know what that position group is going to look like. And they added, what is it, 9 players in the spring portal in the back end of their defense? Isn't it 9 players that they've added that did not go through spring practice with them? So clearly a position, not a position group, but a part of the defense that is a work in progress for sure. You can see the vision if they overachieve relative to what we're talking about right now. Like, it shouldn't surprise anybody. Like, it makes sense. But right now, there's too many questions for us to talk about how good they're going to be in the back end of the defense. And then finally, the confidence factor in the schedule, I think it's an 8.5. I love this schedule. I really do. I mean, it's the SEC. You're going to get tough games. At Georgia, at Oklahoma, South Carolina is a brutal 3-game stretch. It really is. That Oklahoma game, I cannot stand where that is on the schedule. But it's the SEC. You're just going to have games and stretches of games that are just awful because it's the SEC, and that's just what happens in this league. You're just going to play difficult games. So for an SEC schedule, number one, getting 8 home games is a nice little bonus as well. You play a sneaky, tough non-conference game in Tulane, but you get that at home. These toss-up games like LSU, that's at home. Florida's at home. South Carolina's at home. You like that there's not that month of playing a bunch of nobodies that can get you fat and happy and distracted. We're going to learn a lot about this team early, but with the way it sets up, you should also be able to kind of keep their focus and avoid a letdown like you got a year ago. It's like you can navigate this schedule. It will test you, but it's not overly difficult. If this team is what we think they can be, they should be in the playoff discussion when Florida comes to town on November 15th. And that's all that you can really ask for after what they lost a season ago. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So if you're a Mississippi business and you need that technology in the office, absms.com. Just tell them I sent you, by the way. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Someone will probably still call you late. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. This time slot is so much better, though, going at 9 o'clock. You say 9-3, give Simmons some grace this year. He's still young. Absolutely. Lane doing a little bit of trolling to brother Hugh. Oh, man, did that crack me up. My gosh. Right now, I mean, okay. Lane Kiffin can get away with that stuff because he's winning games and his fan base is happy with him. Imagine, though, if roles were reversed and Lane was coming off of a losing season and he was tweeting fishing pictures and stuff like that, Ole Miss fans would not be happy either. But it doesn't matter because he's not the coach that's losing right now. It's Hugh. This whole golf thing with Hugh and Auburn and then doing the whole we're doing this the right way, everybody else is cheating thing is just so typical Hugh Freeze. And that's what all of you guys tried to tell any Auburn person that either you knew in real life or online. You told them all that this was going to happen. He has the inability to be self-aware. Cannot possibly lack self-awareness any more than he does. And then there's also hubris. Both of those things. And that's a bad combination, right? Because the recruiting class is a disaster. They're coming off of being bad again, right? It's Auburn. They expect to be a championship contender every year. That's an unrealistic expectation. They think that they're Georgia. They're not, but they think that they are. So they're not going to accept that anyway. And then, like, why do you, as a football coach, coming off of a losing season with a recruiting class that looks the way yours does, post the number of rounds that you've posted on the publicly accessible handicap system that you do? Like, that in and of itself is just kind of dumb. Like, have some self-awareness. But it gets worse when you did that after you had a guest spot on the next round and you said, I'm no fool. I know we got to get to a bowl game. In year three at Auburn, that's not what they expect. So you already were like, oh, we got to get back to a bowl game. What are you talking about? That coach, that's not what we expect out of you. That's not what we pay you for. You're at Auburn. You're supposed to be better than that. And then he posts 20 rounds in a month in the handicap system. Everybody freaks out. It becomes a news cycle. And then he posts again after that happens. Just unnecessary stupidity. And then after all of that garbage, and they have a recruit flip to Kentucky, they get behind microphones, he and John Cohen, and talk about how everybody else is cheating. Everybody else is doing it the wrong way, and we're doing it the right way here at Auburn. It's a joke. It is an absolute joke, pointing the blame at everybody else, paired with an incredible lack of self-awareness, and this is what you get. This is him. This is what you get, and this is why he's losing football games. I'm serious. It's little stuff like that gets in his way from winning football games. And it's like that on the field, in recruiting, off the field, all that. He allows things, dumb distractions like the golf thing, to get in his way. And I don't understand it. I do not understand it. But also John Cohen, his boss, is a little incompetent, so that helps as well. I'm being a little harsh tonight, sorry. But if he would just get out of his own way, he'd be fine. But he cannot do it. Hard to believe Media Days is next week. Oh, man, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. We are, oh, gosh. So let me tell you how many days we are until the college football season. Why not? 55 days until the college football season, and that's the first Saturday. We're 55 days until the first Saturday, so that means we are 48 days as of this conversation from week zero. So there you go. Speaking of the Reverend, it's been entertaining watching the meltdown going on with Auburn's recruiting and then Freeze and Coe's comments on NIL. Oh, my gosh. This is what they signed up for. They wanted to pretend like this wasn't, but this is exactly what they signed up for. think some fans need to hold off on the Austin Simmons hype until we can see more than one drive in time. I believe he will be great, but here some fans are upset because he's not getting enough love. Yeah, personally, I think he's getting the exact amount of love that he needs to be getting considering his lack of experience. Allergies are killing me. My goodness. Sorry about that. I know that's very unattractive to look at, but I think he will be great. I really do. I mean, he checks every box of greatness. He checks every single box. But you're right. He is, it was pretty awesome, and it was a big-time pressure spot, but he's only taken a handful of meaningful snaps in his career. How will he handle the possibility of throwing his second interception when down a touchdown in the third quarter in Lexington? How will he handle that? We don't know what that's going to be like. I think he's going to go really well, but you're right. People that are complaining about him being ranked ninth on an SEC quarterback list, you kind of lost the plot a little bit. He's barely played. Just because you know that he's got all the makings of being a great one doesn't mean everybody else knows that. He's got to go out and prove it. I think he will, but he's got to do it. Defensive coaching will give a 10, personnel an 8. Offensive coaching gets a 7, personnel 7-5. A mixed bag there on offense. I have some confidence in Lane to fix things, but last year was concerning. Say this about Simmons. I think he'll be better this season than Jackson was in 2022. I would bet on that. I do. I would take the over on that if that was a thing that you could do an over-under on. I do. Genuinely think the Georgia game preparation, at least in part, was a detriment to last season. You can see that. Fringe playoff contenders, that should be the goal. Yeah, look, and 9-3 is a fringe playoff contender. If they come out of the Florida game, oh hell, they don't even have to come out of the Florida game at it. If they beat the Citadel on November 8th, they will be very firmly in the playoff conversation with two games to go in the month of November, even with three losses going into that Florida game. They will be very firmly in that conversation. If you keep knocking on the door, eventually you'll get in. I think in due time they will. The offense had a stretch from the third quarter of the Oklahoma game to about the second quarter of the Florida game where they looked great to unstoppable. Everything else, yikes. Yeah, and then Arkansas as well. Thinking we will make the playoff is just dumb. We aren't. Don't think we've talked about that here. I don't think they will. I think they can be in that conversation. There's no doubt about it. But also, to be so confident in they're not making the playoff, I don't think is particularly fair either. There is absolutely, if you look at the roster and the schedule and things like that, past precedent, there's absolutely a path in which this team can get there. To just be totally dismissive of that and call it dumb, I don't think is particularly fair either. People are not dumb if they think that Ole Miss can make the playoff. I don't think that's a dumb thing. I don't necessarily agree, but I don't think it's dumb. And if they do, it shouldn't surprise anybody. What needs to be a key part of the conversation is how friendly the schedule can be. Yes, for sure. How does this year's D-line compare to last year's? Is there a drop-off? There almost assuredly will be. The question is how much. And frankly, it may not be that much. They're really talented. They are really freaking talented on the defensive line. The problem is they lack experience. That's where the drop-off is going to come, is they lack some experience. But can they be super productive and continue? I mean, the third year in a row where they're among the best in college football and creating havoc on the defensive line? Yes, they absolutely can be that. They were that in 23, guys. There was no Walter Nolan or Princely there. Centarian Perkins did not have the big role that he had now. I know he's a linebacker-ish, but you know what I mean. So they didn't have all that in 23, and they were still really effective. So red and blue glasses on. My take, defense is good. Not as good as last year, but still good. Offense is a bit better with the potential run with the potential to run the ball this year, 10-2 Simmons' first year. That would be a wild success. Ole Miss under Kiffin feels like 8 wins is essentially the baseline for consistency, then going up from there. Yeah, and I had somebody remind me the other day, even 22. I mean, after all that they lost in 21, even 22, it was all the BS at the end of the season. Like, they coached themselves out of, I mean, out of the Egg Bowl in particular, that they weren't prepared to play that night in the way that they could have been anyway. Arkansas was just a debacle. They were better than how they finished. They were certainly better than a 5-loss team. I don't think you're going to have it go down like that maybe ever again. You feel like this is a playoff program? They've been right there. They are knocking on the door. With a young defensive lineman having another year in the system, I believe there will be much less of a drop-off than expected. I mean, especially when when they replace edges with guys that have played college football already, like Prince Will and Womack are guys that have been in college football systems. But Xavier Harris played a lot last year on the defensive line. Like, Jayne Brown played. Cam Franklin, like, those guys, like, they didn't play as much as the starters, obviously, but they've been around. You know, it's not like these are true freshmen that they're going to expect to be helpful. Sorry. But it's not like these guys are true freshmen. They've been around. Golding Brown Joyner leading the way. I'm not concerned about the defense. Lane has to get over his ego and use the weapons on offense and special teams to the advantage. Also, they should be much better at kicker this year. Like, basically everything they have on offense other than the O-line. You think the real tree game is probably South Carolina? That would track. I mean, I guess they could probably do it for LSU and make that special. Man, that can be such a big game. They should go back to the previous Realtree helmet and wear it with the red jersey. 100% agree. 100% agree. Wasn't a fan of last year's Realtree helmet. The first one was much better. Don't think Florida's the Realtree game this year. Don't think Arkansas gets that helmet because it's too early in the year. I'd like to see LSU get it. Well, do we know what it's going to look like yet? I haven't seen that. They should just go back to the first one, though. But, I mean, I would assume, right, that the new helmet will coincide with the new pattern so they can sell more merchandise. It's kind of, you know, how that works, I guess. Would also like to see the return of the red, white, or white with red lettering away uniforms. Mix those half and half with the new powder ones. Are those just gone? Surely not. I honestly don't know. I do not know the answer. It always kind of makes me laugh. I mean, maybe it's a Nike thing. Maybe they don't want to supply it, but you can't convince me it's a cost thing. Like, can they really not have 6 pairs of pants if they want them? I mean, who's stopping them from doing that? I know they've got to make some cuts in the budget, but come on now. That LSU game is just pivotal for both teams. Game day will go to Athens that day, but Oxford will have the better game. Yeah, what are the games that day? Let's see. All right, Ole Miss, LSU, Kentucky at South Carolina, Georgia. Oh, gosh. Yeah, Georgia, Alabama. That'll be it. What happens if Alabama loses at Florida State? What happens if Georgia loses at Tennessee before that one? I don't know. Still at 9-3, the Kentucky game low-key is the game I'm currently looking forward to the most, just out of curiosity's sake. There are so many questions to be answered. Yeah, I think they're going to – for some reason, I think they're going to go in there and play well and come out with like a multi-touchdown win and just kind of like workmanlike take care of that one. I kind of have a feeling they've got that one circled in a way that you probably shouldn't circle Kentucky for obvious reasons. I'm telling you right now, they're going to have a red helmet at some point. Just mark my words. Oh, man, I hope not. Want to kick LSU out of playoff contention this year if possible. It can be done on September 27th if they lose to Clemson.
always wear traditional against State under Lane, so I'd assume the white red jersey is still there. It should be. I why would it not be? Does Nike not allow that? That's a question I need to ask somebody. I do not know the answer, so I'm just kind of asking out loud without knowing anything, which is kind of annoying, I know. Even the non-con with Tulane and Washington State to step up, at least from last season, to potential sleepy games. Luckily, Washington State's after a bye, but just from like a from our perspective, it's just nice that the non-conference game is going to be brands that you recognize, you know? I mean, I know Wake Forest under Clawson used to be pretty respectable, but they were kind of an atrocity last year, and Washington State's not going to be particularly good, but, you know, at least it's brands, right? I mean, and even Georgia State, like Georgia State beat Vanderbilt last year, so they open with that, and then you dive right into conference play. Tulane's going to be tough as hell under Summerall. Washington State's technically Power 5, even though Tulane's going to be the tougher game, or Power 4, even though Tulane's going to be the tougher game. And then you got the Citadel mixed in there. Throw the military guys a bone. Of the teams on the schedule, is there a different combo of the first two conference games you'd rather have? No. I don't think so. I mean, you never get Mississippi State first. I mean, I would much rather, you know, start off conference play with a win, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, I think Kentucky and Arkansas to get you started in conference play, especially the first one being on the road, like wakes you up a little bit, but they're winnable games. It's not like you're having to go to Knoxville in week two, right? It's a team that will have your attention, but should still be beatable. Georgia hasn't lost in Athens in 5 years. They play Bama, Texas, and Ole Miss in Athens this year. That streak has to be over this year, right? Could you imagine if they pulled it off? I mean, I would assume that that streak's going to end this year. Although I have rolled my eyes so hard at these stadium ranking things that people have been doing lately. At Athens, 6th, 7th, like, yeah, well, when Auburn's winning, Jordan Hare's tougher. Well, then why don't they win there more? If it's so tough to win there, why did Cal and Vanderbilt do it last year? Why did New Mexico State do it 2 years ago? Georgia has not lost a home game since 2019. Isn't the difficulty of the environment kind of centered around how good the team is? Kind of, right? I mean, what was Vaught-Hemingway when Georgia was in there last year? Tell me that place was not an absolute miserable place for Georgia to be in for four quarters. They couldn't hear. I mean, like, I just, we're doing these, this place is difficult to play rankings, and we're ranking a place that has seen home losses to bad teams very recently, and Georgia has not lost a home game since 2019, and we're ranking them 6th in the conference in difficult places to play. Give me a break. Athens is clearly the most difficult place to play right now. And, oh, well, when Tiger Stadium's right, well, when Athens is right, it's obviously an impossible place to play. I don't understand. I don't get it. I know it's off-season content stuff, but maybe the team that doesn't lose at home deserves, like, the – anyway, sorry. I'm overthinking dumb lists made by people that just want an engagement bait, and I'm falling for it. If Hugh has the year he could potentially have, does Auburn try Lane again? I mean, he would just laugh in their face this time around. I'm sure they could try, but I mean, it was a no before. The year is 2027. Who are the coaches at Arkansas, Auburn, and Mississippi State? Ooh, that's a good question. Let me think this through. Arkansas, Rhett Lashley. Auburn, who's the head coach at Auburn? Who's the head coach at Auburn? Glenn Schumann? the defensive coordinator at Georgia. And then Mississippi State. DJ Kinney. That's a tough question. I don't think any of them will be at their respective job in 2027. I do not. I mean, right now, the hole that – I think Sam Pittman's going to retire. I think Hugh Freeze is going to get fired. And the hole that Jeff Lebby's currently in, I mean, look at their recruiting class right now, by the way. They have got to dramatically improve as a football team, and I don't know yet if they have the personnel that can dramatically improve. It's just he's in a pretty terrible spot right now, and he's kind of the creator of some of it too. I know he took over a bad situation. He lost to Toledo badly on his home field. That's not anybody else's fault but his own. So dismissing last season as just the program he took over, I don't think is accurate. I don't think that's right. They were embarrassed on their home field by Toledo, by Arkansas, by Florida, by Missouri. Embarrassed on their home field. Absolutely embarrassed. So I did a big hole. Pat, I appreciate you. I got to kind of ignore that one for, I hope you understand. Auburn Baylor on Friday night, week one's must watch. No kidding. You think Gus is going to go back to Auburn? Ooh, I don't know about that. He's right where he needs to be. I think the throws Simmons made last year, even in the small moments, look so good. He's just so fluid, so talented. What do I think about the other quarterbacks on Ole Miss's schedule and some of their personnel? I really like Nuss a lot, although I think there's a little bit of Brett Favre in him, a little bit too reckless. Calzada at Kentucky is probably going to be the worst quarterback in the SEC this year. Not that that mattered last year, but you know what I mean. Talon Green, very talented, probably underrated on a very bad team. I think when healthy, he can give Ole Miss all kinds of fits, to be honest, especially in that system. He's pretty exciting. I think that because he was on a bad team and where he is, he's not getting any love for the season he had a year ago. But personnel-wise, Kentucky and Arkansas both a major step below what Ole Miss has. Georgia, Stockton is going to benefit greatly from what's around him, more so than anything else. Oklahoma, what a wild card he is. Really, really good playing against much lesser competition a year ago. Very talented. Much better than Jackson Arnold, though. That Oklahoma certainly upgraded. You guys know me on the Nora Sellers. I am very unsold on him. I think that there's talent, physical abilities there. Consistency is a big problem. I don't think that he improved really at all from week one, that much anyway, to week 13, if you want to call it that, with the bowl game. I think he's got a lot of growing to do. There's a lot of talent there, but there's a lot of growing to do. Lagway's a star. He's an absolute superstar. And I would bet on somebody else being Mississippi State's quarterback by the time the Egg Bowl comes around. Call it bias, but if Ole Miss is 7-2 after Carolina, they might just knock that door down. I hear you. Hey, Austin, appreciate the super chat, man. Thank you. Thank you very much. I just went Elvis on you, but I appreciate you, man. Does the SEC have to play in Ireland's Week 0 game next year? If so, who gets that spot? Big 10 was first, ACC last year, Big 12 this year. The SEC has to be next. I would be very surprised. I would be very surprised. I shouldn't be surprised by anything. I don't think that the SEC wants to do Week 0. I think they'd really prefer not to, unless they move, like as we talked about before, make week zero the new week one. I don't think they particularly want to do the gimmick games if they don't have to, that they don't want to play on Thursday nights during the season. They don't have to. Week one's a little bit different, of course, but as far as I understand it, they don't want to do that. Now, ESPN might tell them to jump and they have to say how high, but generally speaking, they do not want to play week zero. That is not something that the SEC wants to do. At least that's what they've said before. If they exceed expectations and somehow make the playoff, it can be similar to Tennessee last year. What, do you think they're going to go to Columbus and get beat by a billion? If you had to guess, where do you think the defense is going to rank between the 21, 23, and 24 units? That 21 team was salty on D by season's end. It was. I think it'll be second behind 24. I think they'll be better than 23 overall. And better than 21 overall, because they got off to a really rocky start in 21, obviously. Perkins just seems to be immune to putting on weight. I know, he sure as hell is trying to. I was talking to an LSU buddy the other day, suggested they go 9-3, and he didn't disagree very much, was concerned about the Ole Miss game. He's not fully sold on Brian Kelly. He should not be. And, I mean, you know what's funny? As I was talking to an LSU fan over the weekend as well, and even he was like, yeah, I think we'll go 9-3. And it's like, you people should not be just nonchalantly okay with going 9-3. Cool with playing Tulane every year, just put the NOLA game in the dome. I don't know if they would agree to that. I think they would want that on campus. No, we cannot have a steel cage match. Why are they playing Tulane again? I think that, as far as I understand it, and I don't know if Tulane's on the future schedule. Let me see. But they are canceling future games, as we saw with UConn, which I was very happy to see because that was a ridiculous schedule anyway. But, yeah, they don't have Tulane scheduled after this year. In 26, it's at Charlotte, and Wofford is all they have on the schedule. So, hey – hey, maybe you were onto something earlier, Austin. Maybe it's Ole Miss going to Dublin because they don't have a week one game scheduled in 2026 and they have to have a power opponent. That would be so sick. I would go. 100% I would go. In 27, they have Charlotte and Oregon State. 28, they also need a power game scheduled. 29, they're supposed to go to South Alabama. I would be surprised if that happens. That's also seemingly week one on September 1st. I would be very surprised if that happens. 2030, they're supposed to go to Oregon State. Got Virginia Tech in 32, Purdue in 33 and 34. Virginia Tech in 37, that's all they got. So, but anyway, yeah, I think they like playing Tulane. I think Ole Miss benefits greatly from playing a game in New Orleans. The 23 Tulane game is one of the best games that happened to this program. I agree. Won't rank 1 through 5, but the 5 toughest stadiums to you seem to be LSU, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, and South Carolina. Don't hate that. Don't hate that at all. Imagine if Ole Miss had gotten Tyler Barron last season. Do you think the Rebs could have been even better or about the same? Probably about the same. I mean, like where would he have played, you know, and how much of a difference would he have made? I don't know if it would have been much, honestly. They were just that good. Is it just you, or do Texas and Oklahoma not seem to be the most intimidating environments? They don't seem to be the most intimidating environments. Good teams, though. Big stadiums. But, yeah, it doesn't seem like it's as, like, intense as you get in other places. How hilarious would it be if Freeze gets beaten by Diego Pavia 3 years in a row? Oh, man, that would be so funny. State should have hired Willie Fritz over Lebby. Willie Fritz made a weird hire at offensive coordinator, though, with Kevin Barbet last year, and that did not work out. Also, I think age was something that they were looking into with him. I think State could have made a run at Napier, Fritz, or Summerall had they just fired Moorhead in November of 19 instead of dragging it out like they did. Certainly could have. I mean, they talked to Summerall when they hired Lebby, and that didn't go through. So Camario Taylor starts the Egg Bowl. I think he will. I do. If Freeze loses to Pavia for a third time, they might fire him the next day. All right, what week is that? It's November 8th as well. And that could be, so they're at Baylor, at Oklahoma, at Texas A&M, Georgia, Missouri, at Arkansas, Kentucky before that game. That could be their fifth loss of the season. Pavia again at Vanderbilt. Gosh, I mean, guys, they could have three losses on September 27th. Hell, they'd be doing fine to have two losses on September 27th. And then they play Georgia. Ooh. No, Auburn couldn't afford to take a chance, but what if Pete Golding was offered the Auburn job? It's an interesting question. I think that that's one you couldn't turn down if you were him, but I mean, I have, as all of you have, I think it would take something very special to get Pete Golding out of Oxford, because I don't know this, I've said this before, and a lot of people have, I think Pete Golding expects to be the next head coach at Ole Miss. And with the family ties to Mississippi, it's a job worth waiting on for a lot of reasons. So, yeah, LSU should have a lot more expectations than that. Golding's not taking the shit show going on at Auburn. Probably not. Mark Stoops' buyout is huge, but it feels like the end there. They're in a bad spot with football now. He peaked a while ago. Yes, it does feel like the end there. Especially, I guess, Iowa's not coming open, so that golden parachute's not there. A&M fell through. Yeah, you feel like that took the wind out of his sails? I mean, he took that job. It's not like the Lane Auburn thing where Lane ultimately, he was going until he decided, no, I'm not, and told them no. Stoops took that job, and they took that job from him. I don't know how you come back from that. Perkins needs to learn about the 1,000-calorie tuna protein shake. Auburn promotes Cadillac Williams again, even if he's, or if he's even on staff. I think they, quote-unquote, let him go. What a surprise that they fire. Wait. I want to surprise that they fire Freeze. Freeze one, and then if he loses the Vanderbilt again or any team at this point, you won't be surprised, I think, is what you're trying to say, right? If they fire him. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they do that either. Problem is, they might end up in purgatory. They might just be just good enough. You know what I mean? I'm not talking very well tonight. I'm sorry. The one thing he's hanging his hat on is going up in flames. Yeah, no kidding. Is Derek Nix still on staff there? Maybe he can be the interim coach. That's probably what it would be. It's probably what it would be. But anyway. All right, guys, pretty good for a random Sunday a week before media days in the middle of July, huh? Not bad at all. Appreciate you guys being here. As always, we'll be back on Tuesday night, and we'll have a list of names for media days by then. So looking forward to seeing who Ole Miss is going to bring. In the meantime, you guys have a great rest of your night, and I will talk to you on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.